Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends rise up to help Santa save Christmas. As always, I am your jolly, mischievous, frosty host, Zach, and join with me is the fable keeper of eggs and guardian podcasting hope,
Zach,
and the man of all of our dreams,
Steven. Am I the Christmas prince?
No, you're the Sandman. Oh. I watched Rise of the Guardians yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to say, you brought a three-year-old movie back.
2012.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Good lord.
It's an old movie.
I literally saw a meme about it. It was like, oh, hey, I remember that thing. It can't be that old. Oh my god, it's 10 years old.
Yeah. How?
Anyway, but before we get started with our Z2 award show.
Because Christmas and
because
New Year's.
This is the last episode for the year.
Oh no. Ho, ho, ho.
Yep.
Who would have known?
But, Steve, I wanted to give you your Christmas present on air. Because I want to get your live reaction.
Oh, Jesus.
None of us are spending Christmas together. Oh, you wrapped it?
Yeah, that's my... Oh, fuck.
He's punching the mic. It's not me this year.
No, he didn't just punch the mic. He elbowed the mic.
Yeah, I fucking decked that mic. Fuck the mic.
Just like you deck these halls.
Merry Christmas, Steve.
Snuggy powers.
As we, like, struggle to get it.
Steve is wearing... We're all wearing blankets because our basement's, like, 10 degrees.
It has no fucking...
There is no chill. There's a lot of chill.
Save the paper.
No, you don't.
You don't have to save
it. Read the card first.
There's no card.
What card?
There's no card.
There was no card.
How about this dick? Love, Zach. Aw.
So, like, our 1 year anniversary, I got Zach a present. Now we're getting Steve a present. When will I get a present?
Tuesday. Okay. When your Christmas present actually comes in.
Yeah, yours was supposed to be here yesterday, but it wasn't.
Because UPS decided, we're going to have it sit here and wait for acceptance for about 2 days.
Zach still doesn't have a shipping order. Neat. Confirmation.
Paper for you.
Nice.
I was excited.
He's opening the box.
It's fragile. It says so on the side.
Fragile. Yeah.
Oh, actually, it actually does say on the side.
It's kind of annoying to get out of the box.
Fuck you, cardboard.
It's a mug. Oh, God.
He's got a mug.
Oh, dear Jesus.
What is it, Steve?
It's so beautiful.
What is it?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain because not everyone has seen My Hero.
No, that's true. But you can still explain it.
It's Deku doing an All Might face saying, drink this, in reference to a scene where he did the All Might face saying, eat this.
Now,
it's
Steve.
It's beautiful.
I told you when I saw that, I'm like, I must get this for him. And then I finally saw it available in the U.S. I'm like, yes, my time is now.
It's beautiful. I love it.
Now, Steve, what's your favorite book series?
My favorite book series? Series of Unfortunate Events.
Oh, weird. I just found this laying in my lap. Just now, but it's a signed copy of Series of Unfortunate Events
by Lemony Snicket. See, now I feel. Well, I guess I gotta go get Zach's present upstairs.
Nah, it's too late.
You don't have to right now.
We already know Lemony Snicket started with a D.
What?
The signature has a D.
Does it really?
Probably his actual name.
Oh. You would think he would sign with this pen name, though.
You'd think, what? But. Makes too much sense.
But yes, you're Merry Christmas, Steve.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
That's the end of the episode.
Yay!
That's crazy. We saved Christmas, everyone.
Thank you, NSA overlords.
I don't think they're saving Christmas. They're accepting Christmas at this year, but...
But NORAD is tracking Santa right as we speak.
The rest of the world is on fire. So.
Not quite.
Depends. Did you think that the SpaceX rocket launch was aliens or North Korea? Because that's what everybody thought.
Yeah, someone called 911 over it. Like, there's something weird in the sky. And what do you want us to do about it? Shoot it! Shoot it down!
Elon Musk's reaction tweets to it were pretty great. He's like, I'm legitimately sad that people actually thought it was aliens.
Well, I mean, with all the other news that came out in these past 2 weeks, it's like, huh.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, people were legitimately worried it was North Korea. It's like, oh god, is it happening?
We're in the Cold War. A Cold War.
Of sorts.
Especially in our basement right
now.
It's
very cold right now.
But Steve, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
I saw the signed copy of it, and I'm like, I need to get this for him. And thank God you guessed Series of Unfortunate Events first. I would have been screwed.
Like I was trying to think, it was like,
Like, there are many book series that I love, but which one does he think I'm talking?
Yeah, I'm like, shit, if he says Harry Potter, I'm fucked. But anyways, so this year,
the Z2 Awards, where we're going to run down our favorite things of the year, because it's fucking impossible for us to consume everything. So this is our favorites of what we have consumed, being what we read, watched, played, etc.
How about Eden?
Yes, you could have eaten it.
Cool.
You could have eaten the comic book after you read it.
I was going to say, I probably swallowed the Nintendo Switch cartridge.
Just to see, you know, prove a point.
Oh, your Snuggie has a hood. You look like the Smurf that got rejected. Oh, it's not a hood, it's your sleeve.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's the sleeve. So
neat.
Actually, no, you look like a snork.
I look like a rejected snork.
Yeah.
Like a snork whose little antenna kind of formed over his body.
It felt a little flat. Anyways.
So, first thing we're going to start off with this year is our favorite ongoing comic book series.
I don't actually read comic books.
Oh, my God.
I look at the pictures.
Wait, we read comic books here?
Yeah, I know. Shocking, right?
Who reads?
So, I read. Just the way this is going to go, I'm going to give a little description of what that means for us, and then we'll each explain like why the thing we're picking is why we enjoyed it so much.
Okay.
So, favorite ongoing series that could have been canceled this year, didn't have to be.
Shout
like,
out to you, Marvel.
Doesn't still have to be ongoing, but it wasn't ongoing.
Does it start in 2017?
No, it could be any.
Neato.
It could be any point. Just what out of everything you read this year, what was your favorite ongoing series?
I feel like my hair is fucked up now. It feels like it's standing up.
That seems fine.
Okay.
You have a little like kind of mohawk going?
Yes.
Or faux hawk?
Anyways, Zach. Would you like to do the honors?
Sure, I will start off. And it's for me, it had to be Tom King's Batman. Like, the further along he's gone in his like interpretation of what Batman's character is for him, the more I've just grown to love it. Like, especially recently with the Selina Kyle arc with like rooftops and the fucking Ballad of Kite Man. Like, he turned a Hell goddamn yeah. meme into a heartbreaking story.
Hell yeah.
It's just like Tom King has become one of my absolute favorite writers now. Like, especially like meeting him in 2016 at New York Comic Con. Like, he's just such a cool and humble dude. Like, and just I love his interpretation of Batman.
His Apple Bottom Crumble is by far the most crumblest.
No, we're not bringing Popstar into this. Yeah, like just the way that his interpretation of Bruce and just Batman in general isn't necessarily Batman himself, like from his point of view, it's more of like how Batman is perceived by the rest of Gotham and like his effect on the city as a whole. Because I mean, right out the gate when his run started back in 2016, it was a shot of Batman prepared to die on a fucking plane.
Still the most metal like, scene out there.
Yeah, like he's ready to give up his life, and then we go into this whole storyline of like him fighting freaking War of Jokes and Riddles, like him having to choose like which is the lesser of two evils here and still getting it wrong. And then, like I said, turning Kite Man, this stupid joke that the fan base just grabbed onto of Hell Yeah, and turning it into this heartbreaking tale about this father who
It was his father.
Okay, I couldn't remember died. If it was an uncle or not.
There's poison on the kite.
Right. Just like, you understand, like, yeah, the Hell Yeah was a joke, but now it has so much more fucking meaning to where it's just his son, his memento to his son of, like, yeah, this was something that he wasn't sure if he should say, but now I'm going to say it to honor him because that's all I have left to remind myself of him. I'm just like, fuck, Tom King.
He wants to be in the same place his son went to.
Mm-hmm.
He is hell.
Yep. Hell yeah. But yeah, like, Snyder, it's so weird because Snyder's Batman and Tom, like, we've gotten both of them this year with Metal and
All-Star.
Yeah, like, we have two different interpretations, but personally, I feel like Tom King's Batman is something I enjoy more than Snyder's because Snyder's was very, like, Batman as a symbol, and now we're seeing more of, like, Batman's actions and the repercussions of his actions are like what that symbol actually does to Gotham, because you see it with like Gotham Girl and Gotham, like just how they wanted to help the city because of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And freaking, I'm trying to think of what else.
Duke.
Yeah, Duke, like, rising up to become his own hero because he thinks he can be something that Batman is missing from his life. Yeah. And, like, the Selina, like, the humanizing aspect that Selina Kyle brings into him. Like, I've mentioned it before, but I don't know if I have actually mentioned it before, but Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne are my favorite pairing between those two because I seem, like, even Tom King explains it perfectly. It's like they catch each other and they balance each other perfectly. Mm-hmm. In terms of like what those two characters are and just their interactions between how they just refer to each other as Bat and Cat is just so adorable
because it's their real faces.
Mm-hmm.
They're like not Bruce and Selina.
Yeah. And fuck that. God, man, the fucking
the annual. Feature.
Yeah. The annual just fucked me up. It's like, I'm not okay.
No one ever is. Tom King believes in dick bats at the very least.
Yep. That's the most important part.
Yep. Screwed everything else. Yeah, I have enjoyed Tom King quite a bit. I like his little mini things, and I'll talk about that later. But my ongoing comic of the year is Nightwing. Granted, they did just switch writers this week.
Yeah.
I still enjoy it. I love Tim Seeley. He's one of my favorite writers of all time.
It's weird to think about that. Seeley's been on that character for like almost 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, starting with Grayson and everything? Mm,
him and Tom King. But what I enjoy the most about Nightwing is they brought him back to Bloodhaven. And everyone's really excited. And they turn into, like, Atlantic City kind of casino, bright neon lights. And I'm like, this is so much better than the Bloodhaven that's Gotham, but worse.
Yeah.
And to see Dick Grayson try to figure out the balance between being Nightwing and being Dick Grayson is really interesting because it's one of those things that Bruce had a hard time developing himself to only being a full-time Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So Dick Grayson having his own supporting cast along with everything else has been a really cool and fun trip seeing him expand and even seeing Seeley bring back, like, you know, the Court of Owls, having Raptor be around us.
Raptor was like his whole end game.
Yeah. And seeing Raptor become almost like Nightwing's Joker figure and bringing back villains like Blockbuster and everyone else. And then even just like, you know, having Sean be around as this really important character as a foil to Dick Grayson. I really enjoyed that. And like I said, the supporting cast in that, the storytelling and writing, all the small little details and clues of everything, watching the series progress as it does, was really fun to me. Yeah, I just really like Nightwing. Dick Grayson, I joked around for a while that Dick Grayson always deserves better because in the same year that Darkseid, or not Darkseid, Forever Evil happened, he also got killed in Injustice, and then Young Justice got canceled. I'm like, Dick Grayson deserves better, and we're at that point now.
Yeah.
We have the ongoing Nightwing title, we see Dick be a supporting character in everyone else's titles, and then we have his limited series right now with New Order. It's really cool to see that character expand more and more, but still retaining this piece of lore that he is the one character everyone can come talk to, and he's like the heart of gold, wears his heart on his sleeve, and even if that bites him, it happens. Yeah. Steve?
At first I was going to say Runaways, but I don't think it's far enough in yet to
get a
best of.
Read.
Yeah. So I'm going to go Champions. Still my favorite series. It tackles a lot of real-world issues under the guise of a comic book. Like, look, superheroes, yeah. But also, how about some racism or inequality?
You really should read Ms. Marvel.
But I feel like I'm getting the Ms. Marvel experience, but from multiple points of view. Because it's not just... I get Ms. Marvel is a good series for talking about that. But it goes so much deeper with Champions because there's a whole team of all diversities and all different issues. I'm a little confused on right now where they're at with Champions.
Especially with the whole Viv thing.
Now there's two Vivs.
There's two Viv Visions, the human one and then Viv 2.0.
I'm thinking maybe Viv 2.0 is the... what's his name?
Victor?
No.
Evolutionary.
Because he turned into Data.
Well, and did you ever read Tom King's Vision?
No.
So in the last issue, it shows him making, he's repairing his wife's body and possibly Victor, or not Victor, crap, what was his son's name?
Shit.
Van. So him like repairing the bodies in secret underneath his house. And yeah. So I was honestly thinking Viv 2.0 might be his wife, but sorry, I digress. It's your series of the year.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting back on my train of thought.
Why do you like Champions so much, Steve?
I just kind of explained that, but it's a fun read. And how they deal with all these issues. Again, as a white man, I don't see as much of this shit in everyday life as other people of race. So it's interesting to see someone else's interpretation of it while also using these well-known characters to do it.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, even though I didn't read it, like, I can appreciate a book that does, like, at least have that stronger meaning behind it of, like, yeah, this book isn't just about heroes and bad guys. There's, like, actual real-world shit we gotta break down here.
Like, there was a whole arc about a town in the south that was bombing mosques. And it got really deep into, while the top brass is anti-Muslim, so anyone who does this is going to get away with it because there's corruption everywhere that most people don't get to see.
Yeah.
And like, just how they tackle those stories while also fitting in the we're going to fight bad guys stuff.
Yeah. Like, because I get people, like, they want comic books to be escapism, but it's also a great medium to talk about this stuff. Because if we don't talk about it, it's not going to get any better.
It's true. Marvel does a really good job at that lately. All right. Moving forward. Category number two.
Favorite storyline in a comic. So, story arc could be within, could be a limited series as well, because that's one storyline. But mostly, like, something that, like, usually, like, six issues or however long it is. So, am I starting again?
Yeah, I just figured.
Okay, so mine, probably no surprise, it's the Batman rooftop story, two-issue arc, and then moving into the date night
story. I don't talk about it.
Fucking date night's so good, though. Yeah, like, the rooftop, like I said, just a minute ago with how Tom King does such a good job of having Bruce and Selina interact with each other. That was really like the starting point for it. And had such big and deep meaning behind it. With just how like he created this fucking romance story and just them going up around beating, like doing tasks for each other where Catwoman's like, no, I want like you. Before you take me in, let's go have one night together. And it's just like half the time Bruce is just chasing her down, and then the other time is like Selina actually helping Bruce like capture people and be just doing his nightly routine. Then it ends with this sweet moment with them together on the rooftop. It's just like, man, this is so, it's so great to see these characters humanized, because I don't think we see that enough with Batman. This, because he's supposed to be the world's greatest detective, like this superhuman. Human mind, like that's his superpower, and it's just nice to see that no, he's still just a damaged person that just wants something to care about in his life. And that was really like the moment where I'm just like, I know what Tom King wants to do with this whole storyline now. And then date night just solidified that for me as well. Oh, sweet God, that was a loud
scream. I just swallowed my saliva. Steve, oh.
Well, mine will be Green Arrow Hard Traveling Hero. Ollie finally got to team up with all the Justice League. After all the shit that went down, where he's kind of just been alone through all of it, because he keeps pushing people away, God damn it, Ollie. And all the shit's leading to Star City, he finally gets to team up with people. And has a fun time with it. He makes friends with Barry, Allen. He fights with all the good heroes, fights with the Wonder Woman, Batman. It was just a fun story. After all the shit that's been going down.
Yeah, where they fucking blew up Seattle.
Blew up Seattle, turned it into Star City because there were spots on the map that...
Ley lines.
Yeah, ley lines that made a star. But like through all of that shit and all the people who have... Like, I'm done with you, Ollie. You go do your own thing. He finally gets to have a little fun fighting crime.
Yeah, that's always a that's always nice.
Okay, I'm living now.
All right.
See, the only reason I said date night originally was because it's like the adult version of Superman issue 7. And so issue 7 is Superman. And Tom King even references that at the beginning of this second issue. Because Clark is talking about, it's like, weird, the carnival when they visited Smallville didn't ask for people to put on costumes. And then we get the silly hijinks along the way. Mm-hmm. But in the same way that Tomasi humanized the Kent family and John is just being regular people, it's the one day that Clark is not allowed to fight any crime but still does. We get that in Tom King's version with the double date. And having the characters like switch costumes, be like a super kind of goofy, almost golden age version of the story was really entertaining. And I just love the whole ongoing monologue of like, I could totally hit him. I could totally strike him out.
This is like, I can totally hit that ball.
Yeah. And it just makes me appreciate so much more the Batman-Superman relationship we don't see too often. Mm-hmm. Like, we go around saying that these characters are best friends.
Super friends.
Super friends, even. And we see them interact in, like, Trinity and Justice League, but we don't really get those more humanizing moments. And I'm glad that one of King's next arcs, after 38, is going to be Batman teaming up with Wonder Woman, doing kind of like a solo thing, which would be cool. Just, again, take... having these characters figure out their place in Bruce's world.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me very much of, like, the Black Mercy thing in Trinity back in when Francis Manapal was still writing it. But, yeah, I really enjoy slice of life, just down-to-earth stories with these superheroes because we forget that they are only human, after all. so it's really entertaining, and I would love to see... Tom King or maybe Scott Snyder tackle that same story, but have it being with all the Robins or Tomasi doing an all Robin story, which would be awesome because they're all doing their own things, but they deserve to be with each other.
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback off that, just the whole like dialogue between them of like Clark just trying to understand like Bruce's like why he loves Selina, just that whole thing. It was like, so she's a criminal, and you know you do the whole war on crime thing, so why her?
You gotta be close to the enemy, Clark. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah, and then seeing Lois and Selina just become friends.
The fact that they were like tipsy halfway through the issue was incredible. Amazing. I loved it, and the 36, even more importantly, was that mirroring dialogue of like, are you going to call him? Are you going to call him? You're engaged now. You should talk to your best friend. And Lois and Catwoman both admitting that they're each other's best friends to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really entertaining just to see them. It's like, he stands for truth and justice. He stands for this. And then they're like, he's better than me at the end of the issue. I'm like, man,
just that parallel dialogue between both of them just flipping back and forth, and they're essentially saying the same thing about each other. It's just really fun to read because it's like, yeah, these characters really do care about each other. Like, even if they don't directly say it to each other's faces, they mean it.
They are super friends.
Yep.
All right, next category, Zach.
I gotta open the note again. So, favorite non-Big Two comics. So, our favorite non-DC or Marvel book. You already wrote it down. So, I was going to say, you can include Vertigo, but...
Yeah, but...
like, stuff like that, but...
Like, the Vertigo titles I've read this year just started. So, I like reading Imaginary Fiends. I'm super pumped about Backways from Aftershock. But my one big title... started last year, but it's Killer Be Killed by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. Again, I like these really nice, quiet slice of life stories. Wars. About where a demon people. Possesses a young man, saves his life, and says he has to murder someone. But
didn't they flip the story on its head this year?
A little bit, saying, oh, the demon was never real. It was these psychotic drugs you were taking because you weren't taking your actual medication that your drug dealer was giving you. And then it kind of turned into like, oh shit, you used to have a brother who used to see this demon. What? Oh yeah, your father drew this demon in all of his paintings too. What? So now it's like digging deeper. But man, Brubaker just crafts these super beautiful monologues and stories. I just really love his crime noir stuff to the point that I went back to buy like his other stuff like Fatale and Fade Out. Just because I love his noir aesthetic. But I'm really excited to see where it goes because in February they're still talking about the demon. And I'm like, man, it's only December right now. I need these issues. Let's go. Yeah. Steve, how about you? I'm going to pass it along to him. Change it up.
I'm going to go Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
What?
I know. It's like one of the only two non-big two titles I read. The other being Wicked and Divine. I don't think I've read more than two issues this year. I have a pile of them to read.
I'm missing out.
Holy shit, we need to pause the podcast because there's Justice League Unlimited Funko Pops and Martian Manhunter's exclusive Walmart.
Oh my
Let's
God.
Let's go to Walmart. Every Walmart.
I was just there yesterday. Damn it.
We need to go to every Walmart.
Anyways, back to you,
Steve. But yes, Power Rangers. It's a very interesting... I was kind of hesitant to read it at first. I was like, are they just going to rehash the story over again? Oh, no.
Don't people die?
People fucking die in the 1969 Power Rangers team. Like, not just, like, explosion. Oh, no, he's dead. No, one person gets their visor cracked and suffocates to death. One person gets crushed by a rock. Remember how the third person dies?
They jump into the monster and explode.
Oh, yes. They blow themselves up with the monster.
Oh, neat.
But, yeah, it's a lot darker than I was expecting.
But it stays so true to the Power Rangers universe somehow.
It does. Like, everything I could see being canon, like, they take a 3 or 4 month chunk out of the series and be like, here, yeah, this all happens at this time. It's like, I could see this. But just, it adds a whole new depth to lore, and again, people fucking die. In the annual, Finster, the guy who makes all the monsters, kills his wife. Like, straight up murders his wife because she didn't approve of his art.
Hmm. Neat. Sounds like a swell guy.
Like, again, it's showing where you think all these monsters are ha-ha goofballs, but they show back to you and you're like, oh my god, I actually feel bad for this character.
And all the trans-dimensional stuff that's happening right now is insane.
Jeez. Didn't even know they got to that point.
Lord Draken and...
Yeah, Lord Draken, a.k.a. a Tommy from a universe where he didn't join the Power Rangers and Rita recruited him again.
And he killed Rita.
Oh, damn.
Right? Thought he did.
I think so. And then killed Billy. And then everyone else became Freedom Fighters. While he made his own army of people with the power of the Power Rangers. Each of them had their own, like, class. Like, all of the Black Rangers were gunmen. I think the Yellow Rangers were Lancers.
The gunmen.
But it's so interesting to see Kyle Higgins' take on what could happen with the Power Rangers. Instead of being like, ha-ha, funny goofballs, yeah. Fun time, Bulk and Skull, yeah, funny, haha, corny, fight, Megazord, yeah. It's like, no, how about some serious fucking issues that teenagers have to deal with? How about Kimberly's dad is divorced from her mom and wants to marry his girlfriend, so she has to deal with that? It's like,
latest tweet was, people are asking if Ninjor is going to make an appearance.
Please.
And Kyle Higgins just says, I killed him once. Do I need to do it again?
No, don't kill Ninjor.
God, yeah. It's so good.
And what were the series that he said he wanted to do a take on?
SPD and Samurai.
If he did those, I would be so happy.
And they're crossing over, so maybe this is his like little tie into like, hey, let me do these series.
Like a Kyle Higgins SPD story would be amazing.
Yeah. Crap, I'm trying to think. But he's saying that just about every class of Ranger is going to be crossing over in this next event. And then it's like, yeah, it's a little neat that you're doing this mini little crossover guest issue. He's like, right, guest issue. Yeah. Like I said, and how about you, Zach? What's your top?
It's got to be Wicked and the Divine. Like, I just absolutely love the series. I love the mythology, and I like... We've got some fucking bombs dropped on us this year with that series. Of, like, everything we knew is pretty much false at this point. So it's like, we thought we knew what was happening in this story. No. Still don't fucking know what's happening. And then the Christmas annual just came out, and we got some kind of important backstories for some of the characters. Like, holy shit, I didn't expect to see some of this stuff, but Mike, I'm glad we're getting more background on some of these characters that we didn't see in just the original series. And yeah, like, it comes back in March next year, and I cannot wait for it. It's gonna be too long for it to come back, but man, I thought this series was kind of starting to come to a close. I don't know if it's going to be closing anytime soon, like, especially with where the last main series issue ended with that bombshell that Zach knows what I'm talking about, which I'm trying not to spoil because it changes the direction of the series.
And you're like, you already spoiled something else for me?
It's a small detail.
Oh, yeah, small. Uh-huh, yeah. Small.
Oh, by the way, Steve, Shattered Grid is going to be the free comic book day issue for Boom.
John, can you set one aside for me?
Yeah, like, the art's amazing. Jamie McKelvey and Matt Wilson are just always on point with that. The writing's still great. Still witty, still fun.
Well, even, like, the Christmas issue was just, like, in the introduction to it, it's like, yeah, it's a lot of people banging. But there's some plot. Dick. Like, some plot.
Yeah, there's, like, actual important elements you that know, we haven't seen before.
After the panel of two dicks.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about Grayson.
No, they were just two penises on top of a rooftop.
But it was an important moment for them.
Yeah. It's when Ball realized he loved Inanna. It was wonderful.
Yep.
All right. Next category. We should have made a clip show of just me saying the intro.
Just like the...
Hey guys, we want to talk about some of your favorite moments from the Z2 podcast. Roll the tape. Welcome to your room.
Welcome.
God, every single episode with the welcome.
See, what you do is you just take one little snippet from each one, like half a second, God. So like each syllable.
I don't know if there's enough.
Oh no, and then Zach, the one time Zach did the intro, when he did the
Evangelion.
Yeah, that one. Zach did the intro once.
What did I do for that? I can't remember. I know it was
You said get in that goddamn robot. We introduced ourselves, and I never watched the series, so I was like the Steve in that moment. Anyways, our next category is favorite limited series or events. We all know how much we love Secret Empire, so we're not going to talk about that.
Unless Steve's going to pull a fastball on us.
Well, little did you know, my favorite is Infamous Iron Man.
What? No way.
Technically limited?
It was a 12 issue.
Oh, okay.
Probably wasn't intended to be a limited, but boy, howdy, Marvel turned it into one.
Legacy happened, and Doom got moved over to the main Iron Man title along with Riri. They shared the same page.
Because, God forbid, you have 15 Spider-Man titles, but fuck if we ask for two Iron Man titles.
Spider-Man, Spectacular, Amazing, Spider-Gwen, Spider-Man Deadpool.
The fact that you're still going.
I count five. Spider-Man 2099, actually. Okay, six Spider titles.
But God forbid we get two Iron Man titles. That would make Steven too happy.
Well, you see, with all these Iron Men running around, it gets confusing.
But yeah, I like the Iron Man. As I'm going to give a Christmas gift to Tim Husky as well, I don't mind Doctor Doom. He's not a bad villain.
But fuck Ant-Man.
He's just not my cup of tea. Are you happy now, Tim?
Save the clip.
Are you happy, Tim?
It's been recorded.
He's not a bad villain.
On this day of December 24th.
He just makes a lot better hero.
But fuck Love Actually.
just bring fuck like off, all the bad jokes.
No, but I appreciate what you said. I almost picked it. I'm like, no shit, Steve was going to say this. I had to pick something else. But the fact that Bendis was like, you know, so we have so many events that happen where we just lay the villain off to the side for a while. So I wanted to pick up right immediately after the event with this villain in particular in his whole journey and self-actualization to his place in the world. Because again, even in the current Invincible Legacy series, people still don't trust Doom. He's doing everything he can, but like, no one trusts him.
Ben is hesitantly trusting him. It's like, I'm going to let you slide, but don't fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just seeing him in a new role, like as a hero, trying to drop the villain persona to take up something to help people. Like, yes, he only took it up because he figured, eh, someone's got to take up the Iron Man title. Why not me?
I am honoring Tony Stark's legacy.
And just seeing him go through that transformation of he doesn't know how to be a hero, so he does things that might not be heroic.
How do I hero?
And then kind of realizing, like, nope, I need to do this, I need to do this. And then all the shit with his mother happened. And
it was the devil.
Oh, neat. Like the actual devil?
Yeah, it was Mephisto. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Mephisto was trying to take Doom's soul away. And then Mephisto's illusion of his mother gained sentience and fought back.
Hmm.
It was really cool. I highly recommend it.
Very interesting take.
Neat.
And it was really cool just because all of this stuff was priorly built up with International Iron Man, where Tony's trying to find his mother and then he and Doom kind of become friends along the way.
There's a lot. Marvel has a lot of characters with mother issues. Like, that was Kate all Bishop. Of them. Kate Bishop's last arc is her trying to find out what happened to her mother.
Look, there is a very specific thing for superheroes. You either got daddy or mommy issues or they're dead. You can't be a superhero otherwise.
Yeah. John Kent.
His dad's Superman.
And Lois Lane.
Trying to live up to the legacy of Superman.
Damian Wayne.
Your dad's the fucking Batman and your mom's Talia al Ghul.
Who is literally locked away because the world is not safe when she's out there.
Mommy or daddy issues.
Wonder Woman has dad issues. Fucking Zeus.
So I said, Zeus. You want to keep going with this? Or
Aquaman never had any father issues.
Parents are dead.
Hang on.
Said either dead or they have issues.
I'm waiting.
Tim, I know. Come Wednesday, we're gonna get it.
You're waiting for me.
Tim Husky.
We're gonna get a random message just on Wednesday, like this hero, motherfuckers.
But both of Tim Drake's parents are still alive, I think.
Yeah, didn't they get retconned back into existence?
Yeah, they're in hiding in Batman and Robin Eternal.
Issues. That's right.
No, it's just because Tim fucked up and had the Penguin.
He's still fucking up.
Yeah. So he caused his mommy and daddy issues. They have to hide because of him.
No, Miles' parents have some issues right now. Miles' parents are like number one A-okay up until this last arc.
And then his mother just walked away and we don't know what happened to her in the last two issues.
Yeah. No, she
popped. Yeah, they met in the park. She cried and then she ran off and we haven't seen her since.
Yeah, we have. She was in his dorm after the Japan arc.
Oh yeah, that's right. Wait, no.
That was his mom.
Didn't she go somewhere after that?
No. She just hugged him and talked to him.
I can't remember.
Then left.
It's been like 4 months since that then.
Yeah. Anyways, Zach, what was your favorite limited?
It's getting close. I think it has only 4 issues left, but it's Black Monday Murders. From Jonathan Hickman, and I'm spacing on who the artist is right now.
I got you. Go talk.
Okay. But yeah, like I love alternate history stories, like stuff like Wolfenstein. There's another book I'm trying to remember.
Man in the High Castle.
I did not like Man in the High Castle.
Have you read the book?
No.
Read the book.
But yeah, I just kind of like that alternate take of like, well, all right, what if we just change this like one element, or we like take this thing. Like, for Black Monday Murders, it's like, all right, you know, all the stock market crashes. What if there's this money god? And every single stock market crash was, it got hungry and had to consume part of the world.
All hail Mammon.
All hail God Mammon. And then you realize there's this fucking cult that worships him who has orchestrated their own stock market crash and is trying to do it again so they can gain more power. And it's just like, it's this fucking crazy noir just storyline in the grand, like, almost not quite cosmic, but pretty, like, large scale with, like, this fucking god of money that people worship. Of, like, it's kind of taking that idea. I'm trying to remember what the actual, like, concept's called, but where you believe something so much that it becomes real.
Tulpa.
It's pretty much like a tulpa where people started worshiping money so much.
Say placebo effect.
Yeah, well, not really the placebo. It's a different
Tom idea. Cocker's your artist, by the way.
Tom Cocker, thank you. It's like taking that whole idea of like, all right, so all these stock market crashes, they happened for a reason. It wasn't just because the market, just money happened. Like, there was an actual reason to it. And then, yeah, just like all this lore that was built up around this whole idea, it's just been super interesting, fascinating to read the story. And Jonathan Hickman just really has a way with creating these really tense storylines.
He does a fantastic job building worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact that he's only done in 8 issues and it's super complex mythology behind everything is just super fascinating.
Those darn Russian vampires.
The fucking Russian vampires.
Yeah. So my limited series is All-Star Batman.
What? Batman.
What? DC what? Guy.
What?
The reason why I appreciate that series so much, it was kind of built up to be Snyder's last ride, almost, of All-Star.
Farewell to the Bat.
And
that's not quite yet.
Yeah. But within that series... specifically the First Ally arc, because this is one of the first stories where everything was narrated by Alfred. So it was really cool. We're not getting inside Batman's head, but we're getting into Alfred's head and seeing how important Alfred was to Batman's upbringing, and to see him be this Black Knight, and then how that affected Bruce into becoming his own version of that character. And just seeing Alfred kick ass is one of my favorite things in the world. And now
And young Alfred being a fucking punk.
Yeah. Oi, mate. But can't really wait to see Snyder's next ride with Batman, which was supposed to be a continuation of this, but it stars Damian Wayne. And I'm like, those Damian Batman stories really get me going. Like the Super Sons issue 10, when they have the Fortress of Attitude, it cuts away to Damian Wayne Batman rising from the ashes, saying like, I have to go back. And I'm like, oh, time travel. This must fit in with Titans of Tomorrow. And we actually see, you know, Connor and Cassie and Bart. Limited 5 issue crossover. Really? And I'm super excited by it. It was really funny going into John's shop. He was like, I don't know if you wanted this. I'm like, John, I pull all of them.
I already read these.
Yeah. But I love Snyder's Batman because his take on it's just the very methodical. It's not really, you know, Bat God Morrison, but it's this version of Batman that has flaws, and you can see these flaws carry over into things like Metal.
It's like a flawed action hero, because every now and again, he pulls out a one-liner quip.
It's my favorite.
It's like, yeah, you're fucking right, I'm Batman.
Yeah, like, reading Metal this past week, where it's like, I don't know if I can. I can't do this. And it's like, you gotta find wonder. You gotta find hope. Damian! And I'm like, oh, he is a dad.
Aww.
It was like us joking around watching Dragon Ball yesterday. It's like, yeah, Gohan's real father, Piccolo.
But for real, though, Goku has spent more time actually being a father to Goten than he ever did to Gohan.
Because Gohan's already an adult and he can't get back that time.
What about teen Gohan? Like, hey, I'm back from space. We can stop these androids. By the way, I'm going to beat the shit out of you until you get angry and learn Super Saiyan.
But what about that time they played catch? With the energy blasts.
Or threw him to Cell.
What about all that camping trip in the hyperbolic time chamber where all they did was kick the shit out of each other for a year, 2 years, actually. The 2-year camping trip of fighting, constant fighting, nothing but fighting. Learn to be a Super Saiyan, more fighting.
Learn to be a Super Saiyan Ascended.
Ooh.
Goku is only a real father to Goten, and Piccolo is Gohan's true father.
Yeah.
That's why Piccolo appears in Gohan's little mid-card scene. Like, when they show the Goku family scene, it's just Goten and Chi-Chi. When it shows Gohan's, it's Hercule, Videl, Boo the dog, and Piccolo.
So we were watching Dragon Ball Super, for anyone that's wondering.
That's the table leg.
It's not me.
I didn't hit the mic. I hit the table leg.
That was like a full table shake, too.
But, yeah, Snyder can do no wrong with me in terms of Batman.
I love him on Batman. I want him to fucking write Wonder Woman. I want to see that.
It's just like...
And now, like, have Wonder Woman, because, yes, Wonder Woman is in metal, so he technically is writing her, but I want to see, like, an introspective...
Oh, yeah, every time when he, like, pitched the Wonder Woman thing at C2E2, it's like, yeah, you know, Batman's the protector of all things earthly, Superman does space, but Wonder Woman deals with magic, and I want to take that on. This is back when he was pitching the Batman Two-Face story. That was also freaking incredible. Yeah. God, I love that arc. Anyways. So, next on our list. Oh, my runner-up for event was also metal, but it's not done yet.
Yeah, that's a fair. It's only halfway, not even half.
It's more than halfway.
Yeah, we're more than halfway. But
we have two one-shots, and then two issues left.
It has been fucking metal.
And then Doomsday Clock and Mr. Miracle is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And that's not even
halfway. There was a lot of great limited series this year.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking about this with John. You were at the shop with me. But the way DC is approaching things now, it's like, yep, it's a limited series, and then it's taking a break, and then it'll come back if it does well. And it's like, oh, shit. Yeah, that's like the Image style, because, oh, God, I can't believe I didn't say this, but Shade, the changing girl from Young Animal in Doom Patrol.
And then Shade, the changing woman.
Yeah, and that's coming back, and it's more about Shade accepting her place now that she's on Earth, because in the last issue, she fucking died. And then she was resurrected by the M-Vest, and she met Rackshade in her unholy madness. And I'm like, oh, this is so good. And just the colors and the issues, so incredible. I love Shade. I'm happy it's back. I cried.
He cries every time.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, it is Lemony Snicket's actual name that's signed in the book. I looked it up. Okay. It does. It's like Daniel something.
Okay.
All right. So next on our list is your favorite superhero movie.
There weren't that many this year. I looked it up. There's only five?
Wonder Woman, Thor, Spider-Man, Justice League, Guardians.
That was it.
You still haven't watched Guardians.
Or it's Spider-Man. On
Netflix. You haven't watched Spider-Man?
What? Oh, I never got around to
Didn't
Spider-Man.
We watch it together?
No. That was the week of RTX.
Oh, we watched it together.
No, I watched it by myself.
Who did I watch it with? I watched it with my mom.
Yeah. Yeah, because I went to watch it, then you went to watch it with your mom, and then we texted about it. And
then Joe went to go see it.
Yeah, because you sent Joe a time text about it.
And that was before I saw it, too.
All right, so when you have a Marvel movie marathon, then.
Yeah, I got to watch Guardians.
Guardians and Spider-Man.
Guardians is on Netflix, at least. Yes, I know Spider-Man is.
I finally watched
Spider-Man that. Is not.
Yet.
You'll finally understand the Mary Poppins, y'all.
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Also, speaking of Mary Poppins... I did go see Last Jedi again with coworkers during the week. And at one point, so I was watching the Leia thing again where she was Mary Poppins. And then I had the idea, I'm like, what if it's in this, granted, it takes away all agency from Leia being able to save herself. But I'm like, what if Kylo's pushing her back onto the ship?
That'd be freaking intense because he's really far away at that point.
Yeah, and I don't think so because you see the hand move and then it's like.
Oh, I am Space Jesus.
Anyways. But yes,
our favorite superhero movies of the year. Someone didn't meet their phone.
My phone is on vibrate. It was Bixby activating, even though he's disabled.
That's weird.
And
damn you, Bixby.
Anyways, my number one movie this year was The Wonder Woman. Yeah, that. granted, I did have my problems with Spider-Man having too much Iron Man. Guardians 2 was good. I loved Thor Ragnarok, but I didn't walk out the same way I did with Wonder Woman. And just seeing that character be so close to my favorite interpretations of her, being the symbol of truth and justice and doing all these really cool badass Wonder Woman games.
Always seeing the good in everyone.
Yeah. And just like that sheer, it reminded me a lot of Greg Rucka's Year One, but the World War One version, where she's like, wait, I stopped Ares. Why is this all happening still?
And she has to come to realize
it's like
that
man is fucked up.
Yeah, sometimes people are just bad inherently.
Yeah. And it was just really cool seeing that character come to life and just, it was such a fun movie. And like I said, Thor Ragnarok, I was really close to saying like the last 30 minutes of Justice League or Thor Ragnarok, but it was just so entertaining to see Wonder Woman do all those things.
We finally got a universally loved DC movie.
Yeah, suck it, all the other ones that came out. Rest in peace. Anyways, Zach, how about you?
I'm kind of going to give you a flip on you, because Wonder Woman is very much up there for me. It was, I'd probably say these two are interchangeable for me, but Thor Ragnarok was... up to Thor Ragnarok, I was super burned out of the Marvel movies just because they had gotten so formulaic, like, over and over again. Even though it's like, oh, we brought in this big-name director that we didn't let them do much other than James Gunn. He's the only one we let have fun with. That, or the Russo brothers. But with Taika Waititi at the helm, I'm like, all right, if this is not a full-blown comedy, then I don't know what to say. And that's what it was. It was
Piss off, Ghost.
It was a fun, silly Thor movie, which I have been saying for a while that that's what Thor should be, because it's a he has a fucking rainbow bridge. Like, come on. The whole Asgard and just the whole lore around it is just, they tried to make it serious and it just did not work, because Thor is just kind of inherently silly. Like, it's this god, this fucking Norse god that swings a hammer to fly.
The god of hammers.
Yeah, the god of hammers.
Who has a chariot pulled by two goats, one of which is named Tooth Grinder.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it was just, it was a super fun movie. It felt like it was something different. Like, I know a lot of people's criticism for it is like, oh, well, nothing really mattered at the end because... just led into the greater story, but that's, I felt like that's okay. Like, we could still have those movies where it's like, this doesn't have to tie into the big grand Marvel MCU storyline. Granted, they did that with the uncredited scene. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, here's Thanos.
Which, but there was no way they weren't. It's
just how it is. But yeah, like, everything in the movie, it's like, no, this is a self-contained fun story. Like, and I loved Taika Waititi's humor hit all the right points for me. Like, just the dialogue between all the characters was just super hilarious the whole time. A lot of the new characters. Valkyrie was awesome. Her interactions with Banner the whole time, I was like, I feel like I know you. And then, the fucking Hulk bridge scene will still be one of the greatest things ever, where he just dives onto the bridge and just,
it's like, action time, yeah.
Just the dead silent as you hear him hit the bridge and just like,
it's a boom.
Yeah. Fucking love that movie.
So deep down in my heart of hearts, I want to say Power Rangers, but I can't.
Oh yeah, they did come out this year. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, came out in March. I think it was March.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But for me, it's a tie between Guardians 2 and Logan.
Oh, yeah, Logan. That definitely came
out. Logan was such a great adaptation, a great farewell to Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Until now, where we finally got the MCU, and now he's going to come back.
He's like, what's that, Wolverine Avengers? Snicket.
Wolverine gets to fight the Hulk for real? Yeah.
Snicket. But yeah, it was a very good movie, very emotional. Best X-Men related movie fucking ever. And then Guardians 2, I've always been a supporter of the Guardians movies. Even when the first one was coming out, and people were like, that looks stupid, why would I ever go see that? I'm like, you just saw Wait and See. Just fucking wait.
Hashtag Steve was right.
Steve was right. Dink. But, and Guardians 2 was just, it expanded on what I loved about Guardians 1. Like, just the character interactions and how this is a group of misfits. They don't belong together, but they are. And they all fight, but click at the same time. And then expanding on it, the ego thing had me confused at the beginning, but then they explained it. I'm like, oh, makes a lot more sense now. How a planet fucked a woman and made Peter Quill.
Nice.
And it was just, you know, a lot of cool Easter eggs. Also, they're the only two superhero movies that actually made me cry. Like, physical tears. Not just, oh, my heart, my emotions. And I was like, Bless Mary Poppins, y'all.
And Mantis.
Yes. Mantis.
Mantis was there too.
We need Cosmo to come back now. The space dog. But yeah. It's so... I think next year we get like what? Black Panther, Batman potentially.
We'll see. I don't think we're getting the Batman movie next year.
I don't even know if they know what they're doing with Batman.
Because Ben Affleck wants out.
Allegedly.
Just... Like, we gave you your chance, Ben Affleck. Like, now it's just getting really annoying.
It's not even allegedly anymore. Ben Affleck said, like, once the right moment comes along, I'm ditching Batman. Like, I just need the right jumping off point.
Just let John Hamm do it now.
Do you think the guys at Marvel are tired of being so swole all the time?
Probably. That diet, like, that diet has to be insane.
I have to work out 3 hours a day.
I'm sure it's more than three.
Yeah, it's like,
and then there's Robert Downey Jr. is like, I'll get in decent shape. Then I'm gonna be in a suit and of armor.
Doesn't matter.
I'm gonna be in suits and suits of armor.
We were talking about There was, I think it was a scene for Avengers where it's like shirtless Benedict Cumberbatch, and he's like a little bit muscular. And my coworker, who's from England, it's like, yeah, he should never be shirtless.
He looks like a lizard man.
Without his facial hair, he looks like a dinosaur anyway.
He's a lizard man.
I've told people this for years, and they don't agree with me.
But, you know, with the Doctor Strange facial, I'm like, all right, it works. The goatee, keep the goatee forever.
He needs to keep it and then show up as Sherlock.
It's like, you don't look as much like a lizard with a goatee.
Smaug.
I can't wait for Black Panther two Tolkien characters.
Have you guys seen the pictures of Benedict Cumberbatch doing the mocap for Smaug?
Oh yeah, yes. There's a whole video.
Him rolling around on the ground.
The best thing ever. Like, I tried to explain like one of the pictures I saw to my coworkers. Like you haven't seen the pictures? Like, imagine Benedict Cumberbatch in a mocap suit doing essentially downward dog.
Just all the time.
And then like just going through various yoga poses. That's Smaug.
Yep.
All right.
Moving on. Three more awards to give out.
Oh, we're actually giving the awards? Crap. We didn't buy anything.
Shit.
Oh, no.
Everyone gets one page from Steve's signed copy of A Series of Fortune Events.
Oh. So, favorite non-superhero movie now, just because superhero movies are pretty much a class of their own.
Fuck.
Still need to see Shape of Water. That would have been my pick just from everything I've heard, because I love artsy Guillermo del Toro movies. But I gotta say, It. 2017.
Part 1. The Losers Club. Coming to Blu-ray.
Now available on digital to own. But God, that movie was so well done. Like, it is one of my favorite movie to book adaptations ever. Just because, God, like,
I'm surprised you didn't say Get Out.
I didn't realize that came out this year. Yeah, but I liked It quite a bit. Just, it was a really good adaptation, and then they transformed it to being something. Like, they updated it just to make it somewhat modernized, but damn, like, that was one of the most stressed out I have been watching a movie ever. Like, my heart could not handle it. Steve and I were sitting in the theater, and I had, like, my shirt covering my, like, half of my face, and then we looked at my heart rate after the film. I'm like, man, it looks like I ran a marathon. But some of those kid actors did a fantastic job, and just because most of the movie was, like, practical effects, too, like with Bill Skarsgård and heavy makeup, and there were just some of those scenes that were so well crafted, like him coming out of the projector inside of the garage, or
God, that scene fucked me up.
The blood coming out in the bathroom, like in the made a TV movie, it was just a little balloon, and then it's like a pop. No, this is just like a fucking torrent of blood. It's like, look, Bev, you're scared of womanhood. Here it is, and blood.
And just the scene of the dad walking in, like, you okay in here? It's like,
the fuck?
Bro. It's like, yeah, my dad didn't see it. And then everyone walks in the cleaning montage. Okay. I did not expect the cleaning montage. The happy fun time cleaning up the blood montage.
And there's so many great character moments. Like, it's so hard to fit a 1,000-page book into a movie. But they adapted a lot of different things. Like, the whole Bill and Bev thing wasn't super prominent in the book than it was in the movie. And then you have Ben kind of pinning over Bev. it makes me curious to see what they're going to do for the second part, because it's supposed to be a 27-year jump into the future. But I really want them to keep the kids from the film. Yeah. So yeah, it 2017, part one, Losers Club, coming soon to Blu-ray near you.
Now available on digital. Maybe. Potentially.
We're going to watch it, Zach.
No. Yes. I do not want to watch it. I do not want that in my life.
We'll watch that and then play Resident Evil.
And Resident then, Evil will get over eventually.
Once you get to the action part, when you have a shotgun, you're good.
Nope, wait, nope. Instead of Resident Evil, Layers of Fear. Or Outlast.
No, fuck that.
Layers of Fear isn't bad. That. Like,
I mean, Outlast is fucking dumb.
January 9th, it comes out on Blu-ray. There we go.
No.
Coming soon to Blu-ray.
Not watching it.
Not one doing of it. Us.
One I don't want to float.
You'll All right, Steve, how about you? Best movie.
I think mine is Kingsman. Kingsman: The Golden Circle. Like, I loved the first one. I loved the second one. It was just more of the same ridiculousness that was Kingsman 1.
See, that kind of surprised me because I thought it kind of fell flat.
Oh, God, I loved it.
I didn't think it was bad. It's just like, eh, I feel like they're trying too hard a little bit.
I think they were just going the same pace as they went, but everyone, since everyone saw the first one, they knew what to expect. Like, that's what the first one had in going in its favor, is the factor of, like, they're just playing up these tropes, but now they're like, well, we already know they're playing up the tropes, so it doesn't have that same factor that the other one did.
Yeah, I think they hyped it up a little differently, too, than what they, is like, oh, look, here's all these characters, and then we really like saw, like, three of them most of the time. Or the fact that they spoiled the Harry scene. Like, if they hadn't spoiled that, I think it would have been, like, that would have made the movie a little
bit yeah, more fun. But I think that was a necessary thing to draw in viewers. Like,
I don't know if you needed that.
Because my mom, like, every time they showed a trailer for it, mom kept asking, like, is Colin Firth in this one? Is Colin Firth in this one? It's like, yeah, they kind of already showed it. Because, like, again, most people care about the big names. Like, they love Colin Firth's character and they want to know, is he still going to be in it? So if they're like, yeah, he's still in it, I'd be like, well, now I got to go see it.
Pissed everyone off, including the director. Do not show him in the movie.
Or the trailers.
But
the trailers, sorry.
It made sense for marketing purposes. If you're going to show off these big names, why not show off all the big names to get everyone to come in? Because again, every time they showed a trailer, someone would ask if Colin Firth was in it.
Princess Tilda is now a Disney princess too.
Technically.
Yep. There weren't a ton of mind-blowing movies to me. And I'm always a fan of the cheesy movies. Like, that's how I grew up watching the corny cheesy movies with my dad. And those are the movies that always get me.
See, I made an effort this year to see more movies, and I saw, I want to say, 9 movies in theaters.
There just weren't a ton that pulled me in this year. That it's like, I need to go see that right now.
We should do Christmas Day, Pitch Perfect 3, and then go see Shape of Water immediately after.
On Christmas Day.
Yeah. I always go watch a movie on Christmas Day with my family.
I always find that and really Christmas. Weird. Because people actually have to be there.
But like, that's the thing, Zach. We have people all next week. Jobs. Actually, wait, no. I changed my mind. Greatest movie 2017, Hitman's Bodyguard.
Mm. I never got around to
I'm going
to
change my vote. It is fucking amazing. It is Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson. It's essentially Deadpool and Samuel Jackson go on an adventure.
I forget. So who's the hitman in it? Is it Samuel Jackson?
Samuel Jackson is the hitman. Okay. Ryan Reynolds is the bodyguard. They're trying to get Samuel Deadpool Jackson.
Deadpool and Nick Fury.
Trying to get Samuel Jackson to a, like, the...
deliver presents to all the boys and girls.
I think it's the Hague to talk about a crime lord that he once worked with. Mm. And it's just them trying to get there and then the bad guy trying to kill them.
Along the way.
And then just them having fuck all to talk about except being Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson. So there's a lot of motherfuckers. A lot of motherfuckers.
And now we get Detective Pikachu coming out starring Ryan Reynolds.
Still sad it's not Danny DeVito, no. But
still, like, Detective Pikachu is going to be a thing.
I just love the image, though, of Pikachu being Ryan Reynolds. It's like, really? Did you think that? Is that true?
Pikachu?
No, Pikachu's talking.
Pikachu actually talks.
I know, but just weaving in. Pika-pee?
Just him, like, smurfing. It's yeah. Like, Pika Chew. You. And just keep going.
Yeah.
Pika, yeah. All right. The next category. Wait, no, I keep closing the document. Oh, no, it's your turn.
Say mine.
Sorry. Like I said, clip show.
All the times you started to transition topics before we're all done talking. So mine is kind of, I was expecting to like it, but I was not expecting it to like it as much as I did, but it was Blade Runner 2049 hitting my cyberpunk aesthetic right where I wanted it. Like, I wasn't sure how I would feel about the movie going, like, afterwards, just because it seemed like it's a pretty niche movie as it is. Like, yes, it was, like, highly rated, like, amongst critics, but not many people saw it just because it is that niche sci-fi movie where it's not really your standard sci-fi action.
It's not
movie.
A Star Wars.
No, it's a sci-fi noir, like, crime drama. Like, and it was just so well shot, so fucking looked gorgeous in every single scene. Like, every single shot was a masterpiece. Like, and the way how the story was told with, like, minimal dialogue. Like, you only got a line where you needed it. Everything else was just exposition, like, or not exposition, just context of the scene and to what the character is like, the state of the character at that, in that scene. Like, Ryan Reynolds' character was great in it. Like, he didn't, like, it was very much like the what does it mean to be human, but it went a step further than that to
what does it mean to be human after all?
No.
After all.
It like, yeah, that's a really played out trope in sci-fi movies, especially with, like, androids and everything, but this was more of, like, it was a deeper connection to than more of just, like, oh, I have learned to feel emotion, because you see him get angry and, like, realize that, like, everything he's been told is a lie. And it's just, like, hit Ryan Reynolds' character, like, discovering, like...
Ryan Gosling.
Oh, yeah, wow. You
got I kind of thought about it the first time. Like,
fuck me.
Did he just say Ryan Reynolds?
Not a true fan. Fake nerd girl.
I'd be hearing things so well. And then he said, he's like, nope, he said it that time.
Wow. Sorry. You
got
threw me off.
You got Detective Pikachu on the mind.
Wrong Ryan. They look kind of the same.
What do you mean Zelda's a girl?
Fuck, where was I?
Ryan Gosling, I'm Only Human After All.
How it explores trips of humanity in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
Jared Leto.
Also, I'm glad they didn't reveal if Harrison Ford was an android or not. They still left that ambiguous.
Because it's not necessary to the story.
Replicant.
Sorry, forgot the
fake nerd.
Okay, I saw it in fucking October, and I have a hard time remembering things from, like, 2 weeks ago. So
it's been alone. 2 weeks since you looked at me.
God, I hate it when I forget things, because then you just turn it into memes.
We're not memeing.
Yeah, you're memeing.
You're memeing.
We're all memeing.
Anyway,
we're all memes.
It's great. Such a great movie.
Yeah, you were really excited to talk about it as soon as you came home.
Yeah, because there was a lot there. Bill was like, I get it. I know what they're doing.
I will watch Blade Runner if you watch It.
Oh, God. That's not a fair trade. You're playing on my fucking worst things that I hate to do is in fucking horror movies.
It's a clown. There's the leper. Then there's the leopard. That wasn't in the movie. Okay, the Blu-ray's going to come out and they have the scene of Pennywise eating a baby. I mean, come on.
Oh, why do I want to watch that?
You don't, but you want
to
anyway.
No, that's the point.
All right, what would be a fair trade of you watching It then?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. Nothing. I don't.
What if Zach plays through
really
all of The Witcher?
Oh, God.
I don't play video games
as
it is.
You would never get that done. It would take you like 3 years. Like, even the main story, if you try to fast-pace that, that's still going to be at least 60 hours.
What if I just had a YouTube video pulled up while I was holding the controller?
A 60-hour fucking YouTube video.
Shout out to the guy who Twitch-streamed a UFC fight.
With the controller.
With the controller.
That was fucking amazing. He was even reacting to it. It was the best part. Oh.
All right.
Anyway.
What's our next category, Zach?
Favorite video game, which... You don't have time.
I have a really hard
anything.
Time. And it's like, of the new games that I played this year, I played in maybe like the last 3 months. Like, I mostly read is my thing. And then Stardew Valley took over my life. And it still owns my life. Like, I learned we can hatch dinosaurs. And the PC update just came out with Underwater.
What?
Yeah. And I think the console patch is coming early next year. But just because of how this game, because we made the rule with the comics, like, it could be from 2016. Final Fantasy is still producing new content.
Yeah, it's weird with the, like, this whole games as services thing.
I love it.
Now that I like it in some instances, but then other times I'm like, I really just want to move on from this game.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to go back.
But playing Final Fantasy and playing, like, Episode Gladio, Imprompto, doing the festivals, like, Steve literally sat behind me the entire time while I played the Assassin's Festival.
I got so invested in it.
And it was just such a cool thing. It's like mixing mechanics around. Like, I can understand why the game took 10 years to develop, in a sense, but, like, Final Fantasy 15, I went back, started a new game plus playthrough on it this year. I'm still playing through the DLC, and I just love that game just because the characters were, I felt so close to all of those characters. And, like, now, you know, the game's almost complete. They let you change characters mid-battle now. What? That's pretty cool.
There's the online multiplayer.
Yeah, and I have to go play through multiplayer now that it's out of beta.
You can play it single player, and they have AI running with you, I think.
That's cool. So I'm really excited. Like, I'm going to play episode Ignis after this when I finish wrapping presents, hopefully. But I have one less present to wrap. Merry Christmas, Steve. And then your present never came, so we're waiting on that. But, yeah, I'll show you a picture of it on Christmas Day.
That's it. I'll show you a picture of yours, too.
But sweet.
Wait.
But again, let it be known that Joe did say, I showed him a picture of your present, and he said, best present ever.
Sweet. But yeah, like, even though, and then the Switch came out, and I'm like, oh, dude, I love Fire Emblem Heroes, and I like Mario Kart a lot, and I like Golf Story, but none of those games were, like, my obsession and dream. Like, I would dream about Final Fantasy and everything else, and, you know, watching Steve play Assassin's Creed, I'm like, well, I'm going upstairs to play my Final Fantasy. Bye, Zach.
All right, while he's gone, let's talk about him.
All right, your turn.
Game of the Year.
Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Really?
Yes.
What a surprise. Sarcasm, evident.
It's just such a great game. I had so much stuff to play on Xbox. You guys were constantly on Xbox at the time talking, and I was in my room on my Switch. Like, as soon as I got it, I put it in. I'm like, this is beautiful, even in handheld mode. And just played and played and played, and kept playing.
So one of my biggest problems with, like, Nintendo mainstay is, like, I'm not sure if I like games because of nostalgia. Like, I feel like that way about Pokemon sometimes. Like, especially playing Ultra Moon right now, I'm like, man, it's the same exact story from the first one, so I'm not really invested in it. But how did Breath of the Wild kind of, like, trump over the nostalgia factor for you?
Well, first off, the mechanics. You know, even going off Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask and all of that, it was, the games were very linear. Like, you couldn't just explore everywhere because, oh, this rock is in your path, or you can't go here because this guard is standing in the way. Yes, I know your nipples are erect right now.
No, they're not. Stop saying that.
But, yeah, even when
we're talking about our favorite porn.
Even when they went 3D and open world, quote-unquote, it was still very linear. Like, great stories, I'll give them that, like, fantastic stories, but still linear. You can't do something without doing another thing first. Breath of the Wild, fuck it. You want to go fight the final boss? Go fight him right as soon as you start the game. Like, if you can make it to the final boss room, you can fight him.
You probably deserve to fight him then.
You get your ass whooped because you have to fight all of the other dungeon bosses first.
And then you use your relic arrows, which you have none of.
You have no arrows. You have a stick. You get maybe a wood axe on the way, and then you can go fight the final boss.
I want to see someone speedrun that.
Like,
I'm sure someone's done it.
Are you kidding me? There's speed. I saw a video of Assassin's Creed Origins. There are war elephants that you fight. A man took them down, bare fists. No weapons on, no nothing, just punched the elephant to death.
I love people whose train of thought is like, what if I just punched it? How long will this take?
Yeah, so Zelda, it's very, again, the beginning, linear. You have to go and do these four specific things. You can get off the starting area. But from there, you go wherever the fuck you want to go. Like, if you want to go see this village in the very tippy-top corner of the map, you're probably going to die along the way, but fuck it, go do it. Go have fun. While still having a very intricate Zelda-related story. Like, one of the things I love about Zelda is finding where things fall in the timeline. Like, because the Zelda timeline makes no sense when you just kind of look at it on a chronological point.
Well, there's the two parallel timelines, isn't there?
Yes, there
based
is.
Based on, like, what happens to Link.
Yeah, so Majora's Mask is one timeline where the Hero of Time
fails?
Dies, essentially.
Yeah, they fail. And
yeah.
Ocarina? Is that the brute?
Yeah.
Split point?
Well, Ocarina is one of the split points.
I can't remember where, like, the branching.
Yeah, there's a starts. Whole the whole timeline and all of that.
It's fascinating.
But, like, Breath of the Wild is after everything. Mm-hmm. Like, at the very end of the timeline, because shit got fucked up. And also, it's the first Zelda that is fully voice acted. Minus Link. Link still not.
Yeah.
Still does not have a voice.
There are three distinct timelines after Ocarina of Time. Where the hero is defeated, and that starts A Link to the Past, going all the way through Adventure of Link. It's like all the old school games. Then the hero is successful in Ocarina of Time. The second realm protected era starts at Majora's Mask, and then the other diverging timeline is when Ganondorf is sealed, starting with Wind Waker. Weird.
Yes. Yeah, because Wind Waker is... events happen that floods the whole Earth. And then, you know...
which is why you have to use a boat for everything.
I could go through the whole Zelda timeline, but...
is it the darkest timeline?
Where the hero fails? Yes.
The Majora's Mask.
Yes. But it also goes along with what you said about Final Fantasy XV, is they keep adding things to it. I need to get the season pass for it.
Fucking motorcycle, yo.
Because I want to play the Champions Ballad, because it expands on the four champions in the game and just adds more story, and you get a fucking motorcycle, y'all. Which apparently is almost
Master Cycle Zero.
It's Link getting his own divine beast. A fucking motorcycle. Here, you get a chameleon, you get a bird, you get a camel. Link, here's a horse motorcycle.
Oh, sweet. I can do some donuts.
Sucking nerds.
You do actually have to refuel it, too.
Yeah. You have to put, like, ancient springs and everything in there. But at late game, those are easy to get.
Yeah.
But yes, Breath of the Wild, game of the year. Steven approved. Stamp of approval. On the Switch, not the Wii U.
I swear to God, if you say Witcher,
I'm gonna punch you. I'm not going to play Witcher. It's not Witcher.
Swear to God, if it's Nier, I'm going to punch you again.
You might have to punch me.
Yes.
This was a really hard one because...
as the only person in this house that plays video games consistently. Okay,
the way I consume content is video games of all else, because I like interactive media. And video games meet that criteria for me. And then reading, and then TV shows and stuff.
And we got Zach to watch shows with us now. He's Riverdale trash.
He's Riverdale trash.
That show has no reason to be as good as it is.
We forced him to binge the rest of American Vandal that one night.
It's true.
We got him season two of New Game. He never went back for season one.
Well,
we also got MMO. That was our new family show, other than Runaways.
That show is going to make me cry in these last two episodes. I'm calling it now.
Issa finished, and she said she cried.
No, I'm like, that last episode, I was actually getting like a little teary-eyed, just because I like relate to all of that so much.
You fell in love with someone on the MMO.
No, but I understand like the relationship aspect of it, like of meeting someone online that you care about that much.
Joke's on you, you've been catfished this entire time. Uh-huh.
But you know, they're actually pretty attractive, and guess what? You're the other gender too, so yay!
That's convenient.
Convenient catfish.
And then the fact that they were friends all along.
Friends!
MMO friends!
You guys need to watch Inbetweeners.
All right, anyway. So this was a really hard one because there were some great fucking games that came out. Horizon, Nier, Wolfenstein.
Doki Doki Literature Club.
That, whatever the fuck that thing is. God, what else came out?
For all of you who don't know what Doki Doki
Persona that I'm
is.
Getting no, into.
We're not going to talk about it.
Go look it up. Go watch a video.
Yeah, so I mean, I sat there and I'm like, which one really did I enjoy more? Like, Wolfenstein was definitely up there because I played that recently. But and I want to go back to Horizon because I feel like I didn't experience enough of it. Oh my God, you're really prepared to fight me.
To the point where he pulled the string out of his lounge pants.
But, Zach, you're going to have to punch me because it was near Automata.
You beat the game.
Yeah.
And there's more game.
You have to play. You play through the game three times.
Because there's more game.
It's not the one playthrough is not the full story. Like, it's such a well-crafted one. I love the action of the game, like the way the fighting style, like it's kind of that old school hack and not really hack and slash, but
it's a beat 'em up.
Yeah, it's that action beat 'em up game in kind of in a 3D environment. The game looks it's freaking gorgeous, super fun to play. And just this whole world is super intriguing with, like, all right, well, there's these androids that are fighting to try and save humanity, but you never see a human the whole time because everybody on the planet's an android. So it's kind of weird. And then you get into the weird, like, Adam and Eve thing where it's just like, so wait, these alien robots created their own androids that we have to kill, but they're really trying to tell us the truth. And it just gets so fucking meta. Like, the first playthrough is like, okay, those are neat. Then you start off the second playthrough where you play as 9S, your partner android. So you play the same story, but from the other character's perspective. So you get even more context of the story of, like, what's going on. And then the fucking third playthrough happens. And, good Lord, it's just like, huh, you think you understand what's going on? No. We're here to ruin your day. We are going to destroy you. You walked in on me when I was just like yelling at the game because I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Like, I was taking a break and I said, what the fuck? And I'm like, you good, champ?
Because literally it's like, all right, that second, the final boss on the second playthrough wasn't that bad. This should be no problem, right?
See,
and then they turn the fucking difficulty to 11 on you without even changing the difficulty.
And then there's me because I go to sleep early and I have a wall shared with you.
And there are like two walls in between us.
And but I can hear you clear as day.
There's still thin walls.
And exactly. Then I hear Steve below me, and I'm like, why? Why?
That's why I want my room here in the basement so I don't make loud noises. And
you can sleep on the D&D table. I mean, I don't even refer to it as the pool table.
Turn it into a room.
And Jim can live with us.
But yeah. Steven's got dibs on basement room. Just throwing that out there now.
Anyway,
just want to reestablish the dibs.
Like, that game, it's so well crafted and so meta about itself. Like, it knows exactly what it's doing the whole time, and it's just kind of there of like, come on, let's go along this fun journey. You don't know, we know where we're going, but you don't know yet. Runner up would probably be Wolfenstein 2 just because of how fucking relevant that game is right now.
So I saw a very interesting tweet, and I'll talk about Wolfenstein.
Was it the Call of Duty one?
Yeah, Call of Duty. Call of Duty. You shoot a Nazi, you get a game over screen. This is a much different game than Wolfenstein 2.
Yep. I will say the one thing I disliked about Wolfenstein was just how quickly the ending came on it. But it ends where it's like, all right, now you can go finish up all the other side stuff if you want. But I had no idea I was on the last mission. I'm like, am I about to finish the game here? Like, I was like, I thought we still had a little bit more to go.
Zach was just enjoying the ride the entire time.
That game is fucking great. Like, it plays super well. It's fucking hard, but it's super rewarding when you beat that game.
Hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, I would say my runner-up for Final Fantasy would be Stardew. Again, games that I played repeatedly.
My runner-up would have to be Super Mario Odyssey. I'm Nintendo trash this year.
But I mean, like, dude, Golf Story? Come on. It's so good.
I saw it and I debated. I was like, do I want to play Golf
Story? It's on my Switch. You can play it.
I have so many other games. I have Assassin's Creed. I've got Xenoblade to finish up. I have Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 on the Switch now. I have Battle Chef to finish up.
I've got Shantae After You Hero on the Switch to finish up. Assassin's Creed. I have so much shit to play. I don't need Golf Story or Stardew in my life right now.
Or Pokemon.
Or Pokemon.
The Pokemon.
Until, you know, they're like, Pokemon Switch coming out next month. Give me.
There's a lot of strong hints it might be a Diamond and Pearl remake.
I saw that there was a job posting for it that hints that they're working on the new Pokemon game with Unreal 4.
Yep.
Which is going to be
fucking dope.
That might make me piss my pants if they're like, Unreal 4 engine Pokemon. I'm like,
it looks like Pokemon Tournament, but better.
Dude, for real though, like when I saw Pokemon Tournament, like if they made a full on Pokemon game, like all Pokemon with this fighting system, that'd be amazing.
The animations would take fucking forever.
They would. I'd wait the 10 years it took them to make Final Fantasy to make it.
Ah, oh, they did Hydro Pump. All right, that's a 30-second animation. I'm going to go get something for the bridge.
It's like, surf, fuck.
Game crash. All right. No. The very last category of the Z2 award thing.
The Z2 Awards.
Z2 Awards.
2017 is favorite series of the year, and that could be anything from a TV series to a YouTube series, HBO, Netflix, whatever. Well,
fuck.
Did you look at the list?
I did briefly, but I didn't put much thought into it. Like I said, I was going to wing it, but this one might be beyond winging.
I mean, I took executive decision and removed one category, which would be like, what the hell does this mean? This is too broad. But my favorite series this year is American Vandal.
Such a well-crafted show.
And as a serial podcast listener, both literally and metaphorically. I love Serial to death. It's one of my favorite podcasts ever. But I just love these super narrative-based shows that craft such a well-made story. And American Vandal being like, oh, this is a high school teen drama involving this guy who painted dicks and maybe he didn't and we got to figure it out using all this evidence from Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook and Twitter. And I'm like, holy shit.
This is but what happened next will blow your mind.
Just they retconned every episode.
The fucking meta, like the narrative of like, you'll never get a true answer at the end of this story. We're just going to keep.
And again,
but what we found next would blow this case wide open.
And again, it started with us coming back from Hall of Justice recording. I'm like, yeah, it's like this show. And you're like, guys are like, what? I'm like, okay, we got to watch that first episode. It's only half an hour. And then we marathon the
like,
entire
it's
thing.
So serious, but like, it's so dumb.
In my head, like, I had so many moments of like, I fucking knew it. Because, like, when they showed the dicks, and it's like, wait, they showed his dicks. They don't have ball hair on. I was like, what about the ball hair and the tip? Like, fuck yeah, I knew it!
And then you're just
blew the case wide open.
Carlisle.
Carlisle!
Just like, no.
Vandal!
Just, like, get over it, Zach. You're not right. And then just the last fucking episode was like, how?
Was like,
how
are you?
How the fuck?
Like, and who was her boyfriend? Vandal. Like, son of a bitch!
And then I screamed, and you guys were like, what? Wait, what? I'm like, rewind! Right now! Look!
The boot's on the wrong foot!
And at the party, she didn't know CPR! Fuck!
Like, that moment when you're like, she's like, yeah, she took CPR training. Like, who knows CPR? Like, no.
That was so close. My favorite scene of just breaking down all the Instagram and Snapchat video angles. I'm just like, holy fuck, this is so well done.
It reminded me of like those TLC shows, like Cold Cases.
Oh yeah,
true crime and like Murderer.
I know, that's the point. And it's like, I just love it so much because it. Like, in those, it's like, look at these newspaper things. Look at these videos. Look at these letters. And I was like, man, look at this Snapchat story filmed at the same exact moment across six different angles.
If you isolate the audio, you can clearly hear what they're saying.
Dicks.
It's like, how? Man.
And the fact that we still don't have a true answer, and I'm like, fucking
yeah,
right,
just like
always.
Every true crime show. You never get a full answer at the end.
The dick jar is still out there today.
Like,
well,
I can't,
fuck you.
I can't give a true accusation. Like, son of a bitch.
But Zach was right. Again. All right, Zach. How about you?
Mine's kind of on the same vein, and I hope me and Steve didn't decide to pick the same thing.
Probably not. I guarantee you not.
Okay, good. Mine is Sugar Pine 7.
What? No way.
Because it's a YouTube... So it's a, we've talked about it before, but it's a YouTube channel where it started off as this, like... It's essentially a vlog about making vlogs. And it's doing the American Vandal thing where it's like this meta thing of like they're telling these weird storylines with all these kooky characters in this vlog format called Alternative Lifestyle. And the fact that it just spawned off of Steven Suptic losing his job at SourceFed and just SourceFed dying. So it's like, yeah, let's just see what happens with this. And we got like all these crazy fucking storylines of like characters getting killed and fucking demon possession. And then the last few episodes of season two just becoming like this really real, like, where is the line between like, are they being serious right now, or is this still a bit?
Where do the characters end and the real person begin?
Yes, exactly. And that's kind of part of the fun of watching it, but it's also just this silly, really meta,
God, super well done video series. God, when they actually broke character in these last two episodes, it's like,
did they break character?
Or like, he refers to himself as Clay instead of Kevin. I'm like, oh no, this is real.
Or this is like, too real. No, this is fucked. Film the scene again. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's like this is, we need to stop. What's my motivation here? Like, is he like trying to actually talk about motivation for killing a baby? You're like, oh no, they're talking about the scene.
Yeah, it's just he's like talking it's about the so people behind the camera. Fucking well done. And season two just wrapped. It's all on YouTube for free. Like, just go watch. Like, each video is like on average about 6 minutes long, I would say. So it's super quick to get through.
And the longest ones are like 12.
Yeah, like 12. I think the longest one is 20 minutes, and that's the season one finale.
Ecclesia.
But yeah, it's just so great and so well done. Like, cannot give Trigger Pine 7 enough credit.
Good job, Steven.
The fact that they started in fucking March.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's like, wow, we've come a long way with this series.
Mm-hmm.
In just one, half, not even a full year.
All right, Stibben.
Mine, even though it didn't start in 2017, it's still going. Wrapped up part of it in 2017.
Critical Role. I knew it.
Where a bunch of nerdy-ass voice actors get together and play D&D and make me cry, make me feel things. But yeah, it's voice actors getting together to play Dungeons & Dragons. The Dungeon Master is Matt Mercer. He's written things to where their campaign has lasted 5 years. They just wrapped a 5-year campaign with such great story. All the characters they made are fantastic. Again, because they're voice actors, they're so good at just getting into character to where they actually feel emotions for their characters.
I think that's the biggest selling point on it, is it's like
it feels authentic.
It feels like a radio drama.
Yeah, it's not like us getting together in our basement and we play Dungeons and Dragons, but also there's side talk and people don't always really get into it. I like how everyone's starting to get into it.
I want to get more into it. It's just hard when no one else is there to bounce off of other than you.
It's like, I try, Jim tries, Angelica's trying, I think we're all trying, but not everyone's there yet. But that's why I love Critical Role, is it's Dungeons & Dragons, there's dice rolling and all this stuff, but, you know, it's not cheesy or kind of like, yeah, nerds playing Dungeons & Dragons, whatever. It's emotional and authentic. And again, you guys came...
Like, how many... Every single one of them cried at that epilogue
episode. I fucking cried!
I didn't.
Like, you guys got home, and I was just past my ugly crying phase. Of like, I'm glad you guys came down now, because I was... Oh, God, I was full on tears, and just like, fuck you, Matt Mercer, and your powerful stories.
Damn it, McCree, Cromriola.
The minute where he was just like, and that's where we're going to end the campaign. I'm just like, holy fuck. That's a 5-year campaign they just ended.
And that's why I got so excited when they released silhouette pictures of the characters from their new campaign. It's like, new campaign on January 12th. I'm like, a story from the beginning!
That's where I'm going to start watching it. Just because it's so hard to fucking go back and watch 150 episodes.
115 episodes.
I'm on episode 3.
Which 350 hours of content.
If you take out all the commercial breaks and their Christmas thing and all of that, it's, I think I looked it up and it was about 350 to 375 hours of content.
Jesus Christ.
So if you listen for 1 hour every single day, you'll be done by the new year.
And they'll be 51 episodes deep on their new campaign, because they do one every Thursday, and I want to try and watch them live, but they start so late and go so late. Like,
the last battle was 5.5 hours that was live streamed.
Were they fighting an Animantoise too?
No, they were fighting the god, the deceiver god. Vecna. Yeah, 5.5 hours.
Spoilers.
Not counting any commercial breaks they had or any of like the breaks they took. So probably about 6 hours. Live stream started at like 7 o'clock. It's dedication to watch it all, but yeah. God damn, it's such a good show.
It's pretty sweet,
so
man.
So good. The first chunk is kind of hard to get through because they have their other party member who apparently did drugs during all of it.
Oh.
And that's why he kind of left the show. It was a amicable split between everybody. But he came out and was like, yeah, it was drugs and me losing my control. I was like, oh, God. That changes everything. But such a good show. So good.
And with that, thank you all for joining us this year. That is the end of the Z2 Awards.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast. Sorry, I had to the soundboard for my voice lines.
Line.
Line.
What does line?
Cue. Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
All right. So, thank you guys for listening. We decided to do this just because it's the end of the year and nothing really big happened other than Jim Starlin no longer wishing to work with Marvel with Thanos and everything. So his Thanos series got canceled. Or not canceled, but he decided not to do it. But if you like this, and if you like us, and if you like everything that we do, you should leave us a rating on iTunes, Google Play, or any other major podcasting website such as SoundCloud. And it'll make our Christmas a little cheerier. We're going to have a white Christmas after all, but it'll be an even better Christmas if we see some stars and thumbs up coming from all of you, the audience.
Maybe give us your Z2 award for best podcast.
Hey.
Leave us that rating to show us that you gave us the award.
And I've officially started to not apologize to anyone who listens to our show.
Made progress with him this year.
Yeah, like the person we talked to at Local Comic Book Day? When, like, after we talked to him, we left. It's like, I almost apologized to him.
Hey, I listened to you guys.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like, John told us to come over and talk to you. I'm sorry.
I don't say that anymore.
Finally.
Yeah, we grew up. And with another year, we have another 52 episodes coming your way. Yeah, because our next episode comes out on the 2nd.
Yep.
Sweet.
This is the last episode for the year.
Drop us a comment. Drop us a like.
Inching ever closer to the 2-year anniversary.
Yep.
And episode 100.
Woo! But are we going to celebrate episode 100 or episode 104?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Porque no las dos?
We have 7 more episodes before that, at least.
We have to make that decision. We should celebrate episode 104 by none of us being here, and it's only the people we talk about on the show that have to record it.
So we need Tim, Jim, Joe Valen.
Oh, God.
Joe. John.
It's like, we don't really know each other all that well. What are we doing?
All right, guys, vibe off each other. We'll be upstairs making pizza. Have fun, kids.
We're only slightly judging.
And on that note, good night.
Happy holidays.
Merry Chris Hanukkah.
Hey, you forgot Festivus and the Yuletide log.
And a happy Rama Kwanzaa Dawn, too.
I'm going to watch Futurama. Love you, Internet.
Goodbye.
Yuck.